Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, this morning I want to get an early start on preparing our hearts for Thanksgiving. So, I got a question for you. This is your chance to respond. When was the first recorded Thanksgiving? Where? No, not with a camera. No, it wasn't 1621 with the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, and it wasn't the 1789 proclamation by George Washington, because it was a sort of a trick question. I didn't ask when the first Thanksgiving holiday was. When is the first recorded Thanksgiving? It's in Genesis chapter 4. Two brothers brought an offering to the Lord, and one of them was acceptable and one of them wasn't. You know, the act of Thanksgiving has to be met with a posture of the heart of gratitude. And I think the problem with Cain is that he had, like if I were to tell you, well, thanks a lot, you know I didn't have a heart of gratitude when I said that. I think that was Cain's problem. He had an act of thanksgiving, but not a heart of gratitude. Well, I think God's goodness is a great way to sort of prep our heart, thinking about God's goodness and dwelling on God's goodness. But let me just ask you, tell me what your Thanksgiving traditions are. What do you do in your home on Thanksgiving Day? Don't be shy. Pam? Cook and eat. Cook and eat. Anything else? Football game? It's sleep during the football game after that big meal. That's what protein does to your body. It puts you to sleep. Alanine, tryptophan, they're all sedatives. What else? Lots of friends and families get together. What'd you say? Ah. Well, football is a common tradition. I like something that Irma Bombeck said. She said, Thanksgiving dinners take 18 hours to prepare. They are consumed in 12 minutes. Halftime takes 12 minutes. This is not a coincidence. So what about Thanksgiving in the Bible? There are 173 instances of the word Thanksgiving showing up in Scripture. There's 157 times that the word gratitude shows up in Scripture. And there's other references to the concept of giving thanks in Scripture. It's a theme, it's an important theme that runs throughout Scripture. And there's stories that talk about giving thanks. There's a story in Luke chapter 17 where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he goes down between Galilee and Samaria, and there's these 10 lepers there, and they're crying out to Jesus, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And Jesus just simply says, go show yourself to the priest. So they left to show themselves to the priest, but one of them returned to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus says, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The word well there in Greek encompasses so much more than physical healing. The 9 went with their physical healing of leprosy to have the priest inspect that and confirm that. But this one that came back to give thanks, he's the one, the only one, in which Jesus pronounced that wellness, that shalom, that concept of total body, total health, total mind, total spiritual. He got the healing of his body as well as his emotions, as well as his soul, because he came back to give thanks. Medical literature is replete with data showing a linkage between gratitude in people and their health outcomes. You probably can't see this graph, but it talks about emotional, personality, social. We don't have time to go into all that data, but it's quite significant that there's a link. In the middle, it shows happiness. I think that would be better changed to the word joy. It's a more deep-seated positive emotion that we have, and that comes with a heart of gratitude. But this was known, the benefits were known long before medical research came along. Cicero, the Roman philosopher, said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. It's something that prepares your heart for what God wants to do in it and what God wants to demonstrate in it to the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul encourages the church there to both rejoice and pray, but he also says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the same Paul who experienced the benefits of thanksgiving. You remember he and Silas were put in prison in Philippi, and in the middle of the night, they were singing praises and giving thanks to God. And then God sent an earthquake to open the doors of the prison and free them. But you know what? I think before the earthquake came and before the physical release from prison came, they had a freedom in their singing of praises and giving thanks to God. That's what thanksgiving can do to us. There was a missionary, Henry Frost, who was in China, and after hearing some bad news, he fell into a deep depression that lasted for days. And then when he went to his mission station, he saw on the wall a plaque that just had these two words, try thanksgiving. He wrote in his journal, I did, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. The benefits, the blessing, magic, if you will, God ordained consequences of gratitude. All the shadows were gone. And notice the priority of gratitude in our relationship to God. Psalms tells us in 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. It comes first as a way of introducing ourselves into the presence of God. Thanksgiving does that. I remember years ago being taught that unexpressed gratitude means absolutely nothing to the one into whom you are thankful. Think about that. You might have a heart of gratitude, but it's got to be matched with an act of gratitude. Unexpressed gratitude is not helpful to anyone. You need that. There was, back in 1991, I was doing a project there for a few months in Russia, setting up a medical ministry, which still exists today. It's part of the ICMDA, Mike. It's the Russian version of our national organization. It still exists today. We were able to, in the midst of the chaos in 1991, where there were in upheaval, social upheaval, political upheaval, we were able to get registered as the first humanitarian organization in the country. And I got together a group of physicians and some workers. We had an office. Things were going pretty well until I began to suspect that the Russian guy who headed that was a well-known plastic surgeon, that he was embezzling money. So I've been investigating that week and had not talked to him yet. But on Saturday night, I went to the train station in Moscow to take the midnight train to St. Petersburg because I was going to go up there to help out with a pediatric hospital that was in need. And on the train platform that night, this guy shows up because he had learned that I'd been investigating him. And he was a very impressive figure, and he put his finger in my face and said, "You will not cause me trouble. If you try to, I'm going to cause you trouble. This is my country, this is my turf, and you're not going to do anything about this." So I had that on my mind as I got on that train. But within the first hour on the train, didn't go directly to the compartment where I was to sleep that night, I met a pastor from St. Petersburg who was returning home. And we had a nice little chat, and he said, "Well, why don't you come to my church tomorrow morning and preach?" And I couldn't turn down that opportunity, so I agreed. But then I went back to my cabin and tried to sleep. It was hot. There was this clickety-clack going on. I didn't sleep all night long. I was weary. I was terribly uninspired. And when I got to church that morning, I just thought, Lord, I can't do this. I didn't physically, emotionally, spiritually think I could speak until I heard the congregation begin to sing. And what they sang was, "And now let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks." And I knew enough Russian and I knew the tune that I could sing along with them. And something happened in that moment that God just restored everything that was deficit in my life and gave me the capacity to preach that morning. Because I saw those people who were definitely not strong, definitely not rich, but they were thanking God for what they had. And in their thanksgiving, it restored me to where God wanted, for what God wanted me to do. There's a story that comes from a British missionary to North China early in the 20th century. He was an ophthalmologist, and his surgery had restored the sight of so many people in that region. And that culture in that region, in that dialect, they did not have a word for thank you. So when they wanted to express gratitude, they would say to someone, "I will tell your name." Think about that. I thought, that's just such a great thing for us to embrace in our lives. If we're thankful to God, why don't we tell his name? So let's go back to that Thessalonians passage where it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." Colossians 3 tells us, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in work or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him." We don't know how God's shaping our lives. We may be like that old oak tree bent over for a purpose, something not quite right. And we don't know if that's something we should be thankful for or not until we pause to remember the one who's sovereign over our lives, the one who loves us and cares for us and is shaping us for a future that we know not. And I think we can trust him enough to be thankful in all circumstances. Don't you? Now, we're going to have a celebration of Thanksgiving next Thursday, but ought not it be every day that we give thanks? Doesn't he deserve that? He's shaping our lives. We owe him that. Honor, praise, and thanksgiving. So let's prepare to do it in a celebration holiday, but let's do it every day. Father, we give thanks. We give thanks.